Hello, my brother. Brother, this world is getting worse and worse and worse. It's unbelievable the things that are going on. I'm just watching the news and the divisiveness. I mean, this thing is in a tailspin, it looks like, almost. And so, man, just keep, don't be expecting, you know, like I remember when God says to Jeremiah, should you expect good things for yourself? Should you want or desire good things for yourself? And God tells him no. And I'd have to study that passage. I haven't really studied it, but it, you know, Jeremiah is in a state of decline. Everything around him is falling apart. And it's like God comes to him and says, should you desire good things for yourself in light of what's going on nationally here with Israel? And you guys are getting ready to be taken captive by Babylon and so forth and so on. And I kind of feel like that's becoming more and more applicable to the time that we're in. You know, should we desire good things? Should we desire the marriages that work? Should we desire, you know, good this, good that, whatever it is? And should we expect these things when things are really falling apart? And, you know, Hebrews 12, the things that are being shaken, the things that can be, and that which is not shakable will be left. And that those are the things of the Spirit. Those are the things of treasures in heaven. And I think it's wise of us to really begin to think more and more like that, brother. With the world around us falling apart, we need to maintain our faith, pray for our families, be encouraging to one another as best we can. And really, I think more and more, brother, we're coming into a stage of where Jesus is saying, look, just like he did to the churches in Revelation, just hold on to what you have. I'll not put any other burden on you. Just hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. And I'm feeling like that's where we're at. I'm starting to feel like we're in the place, brother, where we're going to lose as Christians more and more ground. Christianity is dying. This is what Father has shown me, that we are in the geriatric stages of the body of Christ. If you think of the body of Christ as a living man, he had to be born. He was born in Acts 2, right? Somewhere around AD 30-ish, 35-ish. So that he's born. And he's feeble. It's kind of the baby against the whole world and everything's a threat, but the baby begins to grow up with the father's help and becomes if you call it a man or a woman, whatever, let's call her a woman because she's a bride. She is able to finally stand on her own 2 feet and walk and talk. And then she begins to go out and make friends and multiply and she becomes productive in the world and so forth and so on. And she grows and grows and grows and flourishes. Then she just becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. But the time comes, the natural course of events, where she's going to get to an age where she's going to begin to head the opposite direction, becoming like a feeble child again on her way to die in the natural. And brother, I see that this is a picture of what's happening. I really believe that this insight has come to me from the Holy Spirit. I really believe this is what the Bible teaches, that Christianity is going to die out. In fact, think about it. I mean, Jesus cannot even come back until it dies out. Until the great apostasy happens and the man of lawlessness is revealed. And Jesus said in Luke 18:8, when he comes back, will he even find faith on earth? And it says in Matthew 24 and so forth and so on, that it'll be like the days of Lot and Noah. What were the days of Lot and Noah like? There were less than 10 people in those respective places that were righteous, less than 10 people on the whole earth with Noah and in Sodom and Gomorrah with Lot. Less than 10 people still had faith. So, you know, Jesus said we must work while we have the light, for the darkness is coming when no one can work. So I think we are coming more and more into that place where we're not going to be able to work. I've been talking to my friend Jared, and he said, Mike, you will not believe when you come to Austin what you're going to see if you come, you know. He said that he went to get coffee the other day, and he went into a coffee shop, and they have witchcraft stuff everywhere in the coffee shop. He said they have witchcraft signs on the wall. They have tarot cards that are on the tables in the coffee shops in Austin. And in our country, homosexuality is becoming, and the LGBT movement is becoming almost militant, where they're forcing their values on everybody, forcing everybody to accept this. They're teaching it to our children in school. So what's happening is, we're in a terrible, terrible decline where people are no longer willing to hear the truth. People are falling away left and right. And I'm hearing stories from all over the world, man. of people who have spouses that are falling away from faith, that are being led astray, marriages that are ending. I mean, man, it's happening everywhere. It's an epidemic. And so I really believe that we have to just hold on to those few of us that are hanging in there, that we are in this time of weakness, and that Christianity is going to start dying off in the name of the end, in preparation for the end to come. Someone just mailed me a book yesterday that I'm going to start reading. Looks like my mom's already started reading it, called The Day of the Lord is at Hand. Looks like it's written by a private individual, but a guy sent it to me through, it's a seventh edition. I'm going to start reading it and studying up on it. But Michael, commentary. I would like to remind you that I do not typically read books like this. I do not spend time studying Antichrist prophecies or trying to predict end times, etc. I'm paying more attention now at this time with all of the truly scandalous things that have happened in the name of Christianity through Trump and then with AI, but I still give very little time to it, making sure that almost all of my time is spent doing what the Lord asks me to do. In this instance, this was a gentleman in my ministry who I'd had a lot of contact with, and I respected him. And he was an older gentleman, and he asked me if I would please consider reading the book. I'll save you the time. I did read the book, and it was very well researched. This gentleman had claimed to have spent, I believe it was about 20 years of his life researching it. And I'm going to tell you who he believes the Antichrist is. It's a man living on this earth right now. I believe he's wrong. But I also want to say, I believe every person is wrong when they name who they believe to be the Antichrist today. As I've read human history in the last, several hundred years, there is one character above all that a lot of people agree more closely match the possibility of an actual final living Antichrist than anyone since and anyone even now. His name was Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler came with an agenda to make war and take over Europe, but it was cloaked with a very strong, very convincing message of peace. I've read up a little bit on this from some of Dave Hunt's teachings, and he quotes world leaders at the time just before World War II being absolutely convinced and believing in their heart that Adolf Hitler was sincere and intended for peace all over Europe, and for that matter, perhaps the rest of the world as a benefit. And there were people who denied the possibility that he could ever have the kind of agenda that we ultimately see him have. It turns out Winston Churchill appears to be one of the only world leaders at that time who could smell a rat and didn't believe this message of peace and safety that was coming from Adolf Hitler, but had reason to believe that was an insincere mask of a very sinister, evil agenda, which we now know Winston Churchill would have been right. But when you look at the history and you look at what he did and you look at the message of peace that he brought, and then ultimately how he switches, deceives the people. And there was even some Christian thinking, and there were some Christian leaders, and there was some acceptance, and there was a lot of things in that story of Adolf Hitler that smelled, that would have made a strong, strong case Adolf Hitler is the Antichrist. And then when you see him slaughtering 6 million Jews, I mean, brothers and sisters, to try to put Donald Trump in the same sentence with an Adolf Hitler, I do not believe at all Donald Trump even comes close to being an Antichrist. I believe he's being inspired by and moved by the world Antichrist spirit. But if anything, if I were going to make my, if you will, going out on a limb prophetic statement, I believe Donald Trump is being used as a tool in the end times agenda of Satan to set the stage and bring about things that will ultimately put the world into such a desperate position that they will be forced to embrace this political messiah, this Antichrist. Right now, the world's not ready for it. Look at how much hatred the world has for Donald Trump. I'm seeing world leaders, like I watched a statement from Japan's president or world leaders of last week. I was shocked to hear what people are saying about Donald Trump. He is not even close to being able to be the Antichrist, in my humble opinion. I believe it will be a man that is far superior in dignity than a Donald Trump could ever have been on his best day. He will look far more like a type or a counterfeit of Jesus Christ than Donald Trump could ever do, even on his best day.
But I do believe that this all is playing into his hand, that this is all simply stage setting. The world has to get much, much darker before it can embrace a one world governing authority, if you will, a Messiah savior who looks initially an awful lot like Jesus Christ. Well, I will just tell you, that is not Donald Trump in any way, shape, or form. There is no ability for him to hide the hypocrite that he is. It's out there for the whole truth-loving world to see. Now, back to this book to make a statement about this. This gentleman in this book made a far more compelling case than you could ever make about Donald Trump being a possible candidate for Antichrist. He made the case that it is actually Prince Charles, who is now King Charles, is the Antichrist. The book was written 7 times, and I believe that that man is wrong. I believe the man who has a channel out there now, although he sounds very nice and sincere, claiming that Donald Trump is the Antichrist, I believe all men are wrong about this. I believe we are still in that time where Daniel was told by the angel, I know you're interested in knowing what all this means, but go on your way. The rest of this concerning the end is all sealed up until the time of the end. That's why I still believe it's good for us to pay attention to what's going on lightly, but not to be concluding and chasing down rabbit trails and spending hours and hours researching someone's theory that Donald Trump or so-and-so is the Antichrist. When you see somebody who's in a position to force the entire world, and this is not even close to being Donald Trump. Donald Trump will be most likely dead and buried before this time comes. Until we see someone who can bring fire, literal fire down from heaven, the Bible says, that's how you're going to know who the Antichrist is. When you see a man with such miraculous powers that he's able to bring fire, literal fire down from heaven, just like Elijah did, now we know who the Antichrist is. When you see someone who has so much power that they're able to compel the entire world, all men and women, children, great and small, you name it, to receive a mark of some kind on their forehead or on their right hand in order to buy, sell, or trade, now you know who we're dealing with. Brothers and sisters, we're still a long way off from that. Wait until we find a man who has been given such miraculous powers that he brings not a metaphorical display of fire, but literal fire coming down out of heaven to the wonderment and bewilderment and amazement and astonishment of all. And now you know, just like you will know. You want to know how you know when Jesus Christ is coming back? The one definitive proof that Jesus Christ is coming back, when you can know for a fact you're about to be taken up into the clouds, is when you have finally seen the last of the sun and the last of the moon, when they no longer give their light. Jesus Christ is not coming back until that day. So as soon as you wake up in the morning and you find on the news headlines that the sun has gone out and that the moon is no longer giving its light, that is the final event you will see before Jesus Christ, praise his name, comes back to turn the lights on all over again through his glory and comes from heaven in all of his blazing glory with all of his angels. That's how you can know when Jesus Christ is coming back. That's when Jesus says to you, when you see that happen, don't dare run back into your house. Don't go back and try to get anything. Remember Lot's wife. And it's the same thing. I will know and you will know when Antichrist is here, when you find out on your news, there is a man who's able to literally bring literal fire out of the sky, performing miraculous signs and wonders to blow the minds of those who do not love the truth on this earth, then causing them by that power to give him loyalty, receiving a mark on their forehead or their hand such that they cannot buy or sell without it. That's how you'll know who the Antichrist is. And until you see King Charles doing something like that, bringing fire out of the sky, until you see Donald Trump bringing fire out of the sky, no matter how much of a great liar he is, he can't manifest that without there being some miraculous power happening. Then we'll know who the Antichrist is. Revelation 13:13, and he performed great and miraculous signs even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Let's not try to spiritualize this or turn this into a metaphor. This is saying in the Bible that he causes fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. And then it says, because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so that it could speak and cause all who refuse to worship the image to be killed. So when we see a man who has this kind of power to do these kind of miracles, deceiving the people before their very eyes on the earth, and he's given power to some system or some image that comes to life. You see something that's not supposed to be alive comes to life and it speaks and it causes all who refuses to worship the image to be killed. This could be something very much associated with artificial intelligence. We'll find out when the time comes. But then, and only then, will we know we are seeing Antichrist on earth. Until then, I hear the words of Charles Spurgeon saying, the reason God left the book of Revelation in contemporary Bible scripture is to put stains on the pride of men. End of commentary.
Yeah, man, we are in a terrible times, brother. Terrible times. So let's really adjust our thinking and not be busy down here like Jesus said people would be, marrying, giving in marriage, and love, joy, peace, all this kind of stuff that was going on. And then the end comes. He's talking about for the unbelievers, they'll be caught off guard and peace and safety and all that stuff, which, you know, apparently that's when the Antichrist has set all that up. But I'm not expecting very many good things for myself. I have to tell you, man, I'm not. You know, for the longest time, I've believed that if I just obeyed God enough, if I just kept the faith long enough, that God would have something good for me, brother. I no longer believe that. I no longer believe really that I'm going to have much of anything good in this life. There'll be a few moments of comfort if the Lord allows my son to come live with me, you know, which seems like so far that's going to happen, that'll be something that I'll see as something really good and comforting. But I don't see very many other things happening in my life. I'm starting to try to adjust to that. I'm not giving up on Christianity. I'm not giving up on God's goodness. I'm not giving up on the joy of the Lord. But brother, I am preparing myself that this is the season where Christ says we must persevere, that this calls for patient endurance on the parts of the saints, and that Satan is going to be given power over the saints for a period of time to conquer them, that Christianity is being conquered all over the world. It's being conquered. And I think it's going to happen even more and more and more. And part of this is good because there's so many false, you know, Christians around the world, that the persecution and the conquering will weed out the true from the false. But I believe there's going to be very, very few true between now and then. So, you know, we'll see. But that's what I'm thinking. Brother, I love you. God bless you and keep you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And